Another dead podcast.
I'm rich, motherfucker. Bought enough cigarettes for me and my whole family to smoke for the rest of our lives. I'm rich, yeah.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Lovie Smith and the University of Illinois.
Yeah, you do.
No, you better. You better give him a shout.
Thank USC. Thank LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, should we state the actual figure? Or should we just leave it at you want a lot of money?
Yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
Seven-way parlay.
Seven.
Not going to say how much he staked, but he hit them all.
Three them out.
Big win.
Illinois won. LSU. USC. Minnesota. Baylor.
Purdue.
Is that seven?
Yeah. Florida State, Minnesota, Purdue, Baylor, Illinois, USC, and LSU all hit many of those games coming down to like absolute thriller situations.
And my man got paid.
What a game. I mean, what a day. It was
BetOnline.ag. That's our new sponsor that we're leveraging.
That's it. We will be approaching them.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, did you guys hear the Instagram video that leaked of Coach O?
Was it actually him, though? I heard there's some...
Wait, what? That's not him?
Yeah, somebody said that... That wasn't necessarily him that said that.
I don't know anyone else that sounds like that on the planet.
I know like 1,000 people that sound like that. They're all in the LaRose Galliano cutoff area. But...
Yeah, but I mean, what happened? Did all of Golden Meadow like go to the game and hang out in the locker room after?
You know, Bebe brings his friends.
Look, man, even if it wasn't him, I want to believe that it was him, because hearing a head coach tell his players, "Roll Tide, what? Fuck you." That's pretty awesome. Gets me fired up. Gets my loins nice and warm.
I mean, his wrestler walk-in to the damn game was was incredible as well.
He's just a fucking badass. And this dude is, if they have any success this year, like, you know, championship success, he's going
to
be the best.
I might vote for him as a president.
How do you say no to this guy? He's so fucking awesome. He's ripped. Bear shirt wrestling with his fucking players, dude.
He's in incredible shape. And I think the encore should have been him wrestling Nick Saban on the field. And whoever wins gets the other one's wife.
Bebe's. Oh, no.
Roll Tide. My... Fuck you. Hey, T-boy, give me a water. I'm a little parched.
What's his... God damn it. What is Saban's wife's name? He always calls her Miss something. Miss Tracy or something like that.
What? That's odd. That's like some Mike Pence shit.
No, it's like some, down south. Like, Miss so-and-so is going to be real mad at me today.
But yeah, man, LSU looked really, really good in that win. Even with Alabama coming back, to me, it's pretty clear that LSU is the best team in the country moving forward now. I think Clemson would probably give them trouble in the college playoff, but I don't think for four quarters they can handle Joe Burrow. Actually, let's talk about Edwards-Helaire for a minute. That's that spin move and then how he took it up the sideline and just wheeled his way to the touchdown. Bro.
Yeah, that kid's sick.
Yeah, he's only 5'8".
Yeah, I know. That's some Tariq Cohen. In fact, I think Tariq Cohen is 5'8".
Well, let's go right into that, Nick. I know you got to be happy. Your Bears finally get a win against the Matthew Stafford-less Lions. How do you feel about that?
Man, terrible. I feel terrible. I almost feel like it was a given win. Trubisky, yes, throws three touchdowns, but I think he had his eyes closed on all three of them.
Yeah, that bomb to the left side of the field that hit the corner of the end zone, that's the luckiest throw I've ever seen.
We still look really terrible, man. I think we just we won because Matt Stafford, you know, is that big of a difference on that team, man. And we still the first half. We're terrible. not even 100 yards, man. Just of off total offense, just gross.
So what do you guys think moving forward, you know, what's next for the Bears? And I guess I'm really asking Nick to start out. Like, what's the ceiling for this team this year? Because, I mean, they could still have a chance to maybe hit a wild card.
I mean, looking at our schedule, looking at how we're playing, it's such a coin toss, bro. It's almost a one, you know, a two-headed coin. We're going to lose out, man. It's terrible.
They're technically in the hunt, but I mean, they're three games behind the Vikings, four games behind Seattle. So
yeah, we're not going to.
They're only in play for that sixth spot.
And those two are currently the wild card teams.
I'm already looking at the fact that I got to pay my father $100 because last season, at the end of the season, I made a bet with him that the Bears were going to have a better record at the end of the season than the Saints. Yeah, I'm about to have to pay that man $100.
Are you serious? You made that bet?
Yeah, last year.
Like, on what merit?
I don't know. I like my team.
I guess if they win out and, you know, the Saints lose four more games, that's possible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if anything, you should try to take a discount on that payoff right now.
But I have the Saints locked in at 12-4. So it's impossible for the Bears to achieve that. So pay up.
Yeah, we're not achieving that.
Well, hey, I mean, there's no better time to lose a game than right now for any team. Get it out of the way. And I think there's some conspiracy elements here with that Saints loss. And I think me and you were joking about this last week, Drew. You know, maybe the Saints want Dan Quinn to remain employed. That way the Falcons can continue to be a shit show in the division.
That's a big joke.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that makes sense because I'm like, what happened to this team?
They partied too much with Sean Payton getting engaged.
Who did he get engaged to? A cheerleader?
I don't know.
I know that's his type.
Either a pharmacist or a cheerleader.
Hey, yo, I'm going to need 20 Vicodin and wear those red panties. Yeah, I don't have any answers for the Saints on that game. I'm gonna chalk it off as a one-off, and I still think they're the best team in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah. It's definitely not Seattle. And Seattle beat the 49ers, and the 49ers showed me exactly what I've been thinking all year. Great football team, but when it comes to the end of the game, their quarterback wilts, and he did. You could see it in his mechanics in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Very scared.
It raised my eyebrows a bit.
So I will agree with that he shit the bed, but he also did not have his top two threats with Kittle and Sanders going out.
Okay.
Garoppolo really was just...
That has nothing to do with pocket presence, though. And that really hurt them there at the end of the game. I mean, you want to talk about seeing ghosts. He was actually seeing ghosts, and it's because Clowney had harassed him so hard the whole night. I mean, Clowney had one of the best games of his career.
He was the MVP last night.
What's up?
He was the MVP last night.
Yeah, he basically won them that game, to be honest.
He was incredible watching him just bulldoze people constantly in the backfield, constantly having his hands up, harassing passes. Like, Garoppolo didn't know what the fuck to do about him.
You can't do anything with him. You have to block him with two people.
Yeah, they couldn't do that.
I think he actually fits in this defense better than what he did with Houston.
Yeah.
You would think. I remember when he was going there, I'm like, oh my God, J.J. Watt, Clowney, this is going to be insane. And they had their moments, but it never, transformed.
Yeah, they were too saturated up front. You still need cornerbacks. You know, you need a complete team.
Yeah, but
sitting on this Seattle team and what he's done since he's came over and just what he did last night. Yeah, he definitely fits and changes that defense up really well, man.
He's also a good guy for Pete Carroll. You know, Clowney's not very outspoken. He buys in. It's, you know, watching him in the post game interview on the field, just really feels like he buys into the whole team concept. And I think that a player like that is actually a better fit than perhaps some of the other stars of the Legion of Boom,
like Michael Bennett.
Yeah, there were just a lot of guys that felt like their shit didn't stink at all. And look, they were amazing to watch for a few years, but you know, eventually that's going to rot you from the outside. And a lot of those guys left that team very unhappy.
Yeah. That's what I say. They were talking about Michael Bennett last night. It's like, that's an easy trade up, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure.
Michael Bennett is mouthy. You know, he's childish sometimes. Whereas Jadeveon Clowney kind of goes about it professionally. He's a monster and he knows it.
So the Browns somehow found a way to beat the Bills after what had to be the most embarrassing trip to the red zone in the history of the NFL. Did you guys see this? Did you guys see the Browns try to score 8 times and go 0-for-8?
Yeah, that team sucks. Their offense is just garbage. I don't know if Baker is just intentionally sucking to get Kitchens fired or what, but I have a hard time believing he's as bad as he's playing.
Well, him and Jarvis seem to get into it during.
Or if he has a secret injury or something, I don't know.
It's in his brain.
I don't know, dude. It doesn't make any sense to me. This is one of those deals that, you know, it was overhyped, and on paper it was like, this is going to be such an amazing squad, and everybody's just kind of shrugging their shoulders. Like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, there's no way he's doing that intentionally, because, I mean, that locker room is not a locker room that you want to be losing with. That's the last locker room in the NFL that I would want to share losses with.
Yeah, they're all going to bail.
You want to get beat up or kicked in the hell.
Well, they got to win. The Bills lose. So I think we can chalk the Bills up as overachievers this season. However, moving forward, I think they're still really going to be interesting, especially if they can put together some more pieces.
They're going to the playoffs.
Doesn't matter. They're not going to do anything there.
You never know.
They're going to get crushed.
You have the good Bills and the bad Bills. You don't know which one's going to show up.
Well, it comes with experience, man. It doesn't matter how good the tools are. I mean, have we ever seen a rookie come into the league? Was Roethlisberger a rookie when he started for the Steelers and they went to the Super Bowl? I forget.
Well, this is Josh Allen's second year.
Is it Josh Allen's second year? Okay.
So we have Josh Allen. Singletary is a rookie.
Singletary is a rookie, right, right.
I'm just saying, yeah, they have a lot of young pieces, but every game they play, they're getting more experience. And they're finding ways to win some games. These others, they're dropping the ball. So I don't know. It's one of those weird teams, like kind of like the Colts, that you don't know which one you're going to get on a week-to-week basis. Really hard to predict.
If the Colts have Brissett, I like them much better than the Bills.
I really love Josh Allen. I like the way he plays. That dude is tough as fuck.
Yeah, in years to come, I do think the Bills are going to be really good.
If you like Joe Burrow, you should like Josh Allen, because it's like they're cut from the same mold, it seems like.
Man, Joe Burrow.
Oof. They both have cannon arms. They both run the ball with efficiency, and they kind of crave contact. You know, neither one of them shies away from it. Burrow's going to look pretty good in the Cincinnati Bengals uniform, I think. What do you think?
Well,
yeah. That might be a good thing.
He's going there.
Well, it depends. It depends on.
I'll give you the field.
I know you will. And I agree with the reason I agree with you is because I believe Burrow is going to go number one to almost any team that would have that pick. But right, there is something to think about. Tua is also very, very good. And a team may prefer to a style to what they already have in place over Burrow. Although I think Burrow has shown us now that he could potentially be a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback.
Well, here's my argument. Cincinnati, it seems like they're losing on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They bench Dalton. AJ Green can probably play football. He doesn't want to play.
Faking that injury.
They don't want to pay. Yeah, like they don't care. They're like, we understand. Whatever. You can sit out. We're not gonna. This is a loss. We're gonna tank anyway. We don't want you to get in there and accidentally win a game for us. So. And Burrow is from Ohio. So I feel like that's a, you know, you always want that hometown dude that has a vested interest in the team and the city and all that.
I like the Bengals. They've always been one of my favorite teams in that division. So I hope they get together.
I think his play style fits the Bengals really well, man.
I think his play style fits any team really well because he is just, when you hear him speak, the way he answers questions, you really get a feel for his work ethic and just what kind of person he is in terms of things like accountability, shared success with teammates. Like, he will go in there and do anything you ask him. He's not going to have an attitude about it.
Yeah.
And he's really, really good. I'm so happy that it materialized the way it did for us this year with him, because that's kind of, I saw flashes of that player last year, but he just didn't have the game reps to win some of those close games for LSU.
He's playing with a lot of confidence, and that's that intangible thing that everybody wants, you know. The same way I was saying that Minshew plays, why I think he's still got a career ahead of him somewhere, maybe not Jacksonville, but he's comfortable out there and he makes plays when it breaks down, and you know, when other quarterbacks just like gonna lose it. Burrow's got that. So.
I love that another college coach thought that he couldn't be a starter, and it comes LSU and just dominates.
It's almost,
man,
a parable at this point, like the underrated person, or the person that somebody got a negative comment about and then they just fucking put that chip on their shoulder and overachieve for the rest of their career, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Brady's probably the most famous example of that.
Yeah.
Just
take it in the seventh round.
Just channeling the scouts' reports and him being undervalued and this and that, his weaknesses, as so everybody said, and just channeling all that shit into working as hard as he possibly can at being the best. You love to see it play out, you know.
He was picked in the sixth round.
Yeah.
And has blown away records.
And has that many rings.
And that many rings.
But much like Burrow also does, thanking his teammates, Brady has a lot of other players he can thank for those rings.
Yeah, but he would be the first person to do that, though.
Like Vinatieri, I mean, for two of those first Super Bowls, I'm pretty sure that's all. I mean, I'm not saying it's all him, but, you know, without him nailing some very, very clutch kicks.
That's the kicker's job, man. You got to get him in position. Do your job, you know?
I mean, you put Brady on any other team and he can do
it. Starting to feel like you're taking it away from Brady at this point. When he would be the first one to be the guy that would say, this was a team effort. I couldn't have done it without these guys. You know what I mean? It's not about me.
I don't necessarily get that vibe from him anymore. I'm not going to come out and say that he is an arrogant asshole, because I don't. I think he just gets flack because people are tired of the Patriots winning. And look, no, there was no bigger Patriots fan in the beginning of this run, because they were the underdogs when he first came on the scene. And people weren't expecting them to win that first one. They weren't expecting them to win again, you know? I mean, and his numbers were never prolific in the beginning of his career. He didn't start having top five QB numbers, at least in terms of production, until Randy Moss and Wes Welker showed up there. And then he's kind of continued that in the absence of great talent sometimes. But in the beginning, there was a lot of defense. There was a lot of Kevin Falk. And Brady always shined when it counted, but not necessarily the whole game.
He's clutch as fuck.
Right. In the fourth quarter, in those first 3 years, he could have a terrible game going on in the fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden, he goes 8 for 8, 60 something yards on that drive, you know, and they close out games. So yeah, I love the comparison.
People are going to miss him. They're going to miss him when he's gone. I wonder how long Belichick will continue coaching.
Forever.
Until he's in his crib.
He's aged well, I think. I think he's got the same doctor Brady has.
He needs to go to Pete Carroll's doctor, because whoever Pete Carroll's going to is, I don't know if he's going somewhere in fucking Germany and getting blood transfusions from babies or something, but
drinking gallons of horse semen.
He's like 72 or something.
No.
It's all in the jaw.
He's fucking old.
No way.
Look it up.
Yeah, okay.
Dude, it's because he works his jaw out the whole day.
I know. He works everything out. He's constantly working out.
He's 68 years old.
All right, 68, whatever.
Yeah, he does look pretty good for 68. He looks like Richard Gere more and more every day.
Like Richard Gere and Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, like, I like
smashed that. Smashed together.
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke. I think Dick Van Dyke's still alive, bro.
With a little sprinkling of Henry Winkler.
That's who LSU needs to hire for their assistant, for some kind of assistant job, would be Henry Winkler. Yeah. Just to have him around.
I don't know if Henry Winkler's that desperate.
I might hire him, you know? Maybe if we hit some more parlays this weekend, I'll just hire him to work for the company.
That's true.
Wait, did you say we? I don't remember a we in the first time with all the parlays, but yeah.
Oh, we're involved in?
Whoa. Look, guys.
Wait, he did say we. I don't remember a we anywhere. I
mean, Claymore and I are open to being a part of it.
Yeah.
In hindsight.
Absolutely. Right?
We'll gladly chip in our hundreds.
Exactly.
Now.
Hey, sometimes you got to prove it before everybody else wants to get on the train, and I'm okay.
I don't know, man. I wanted to be on the train to begin with.
And what you do, I hope you don't think that that's possible again.
I don't. It was the equivalent of winning the lottery.
Yes. Mathematically speaking, yeah.
That's why after this weekend, when I complete that rollover requirement, I'm not lying. I'm shutting it down for the rest of the year. Until next season.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, relax, you know.
Live off
gambling's
the
fun, dude, but it's hard.
Live off the winnings.
Gambling can be hard on the heart. So,
yeah,
I'm very fortunate this weekend was so good. But look, this is the last thing I'll say about gambling. If you're going to be a gambler, put in the time, do your homework. Doesn't mean you're going to be right, but it gives you a better chance. And chase your losses. I know that's the worst advice. Everyone always says that's the worst advice. I disagree. If you actually want to gamble and do it and you lose a few times and you give up after that, then you lost.
Uh-huh. And also, only gamble when you need to, you know what I mean? Like when you need the money, it's the best way to get more money.
Yeah.
Basically, all of his advice is the opposite of what's on those little cards on the 1-877 gambling thing.
It's like he called and wrote down everything they said, dude, and just
did the opposite.
Just the opposite.
Hey, man, that's how the casinos get you, okay?
When
the
you lose, double down. Double down. It's coming.
Oh, and by the way, how much are y'all worth? I might buy you after this weekend.
BetOnline.ag, guys. just gonna keep throwing that in there until they sponsor us.
Chiefs lose to the Titans. Media wants to start questioning their defense now, which I think that's a correct perspective to question their defense after Derrick Henry completely abused them. But I've said this a lot this season, and I'm gonna stick with it. I think the most important thing to winning a championship in this new pass-first league is to have a good quarterback. I think you can do it without having an elite defense. Didn't expect them to lose this game, but I still think they're fine, man.
Andy Reid is, I read this stat earlier, he's something like 1-8 versus the Titans.
Wow.
And Tannehill is zinging the shit out of that ball right now, man.
Comeback player of the year.
He's
I'm saying it right now. Comeback player of the year, Ryan Tannehill.
He's doing really good.
Who else is in that discussion?
ESPN has definitely written an article about this. Let's see.
Oh, no. Dalvin Cook, huh? Dalvin Cook
didn't play last year?
He had the ACL at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, but he got hurt.
Yeah, does that count? I guess it could.
Why wouldn't it? Didn't AP get it after he had his ACL?
I feel like we kind of already knew that Dalvin Cook was going to be a badass, though. Tannehill, on the other hand, had been written off by so many people, including me.
All right, how does the award work? I don't, you know, explain it to me. Does it have to be a fucking bum that everybody wrote off, or can it be somebody just missed the previous year?
No one knows how any of this shit works, because if they did, then Drew Brees would have won 3 MVPs by now.
True that.
True.
True that.
So this was written 3 weeks ago. There's no real decisive article.
Has he won MVP?
Huh? Brees. No, he's never won. Last year was another good year for him, but of course Mahomes won. And yeah, what a crime.
And he can't get it this year.
How could they not give him co-MVP with Mahomes? You know, they've done that before. Why, like, the NFL truly hates the Saints, okay? Yeah, there was no love lost there. And it's because Sean Payton has been so aggressive.
I think they want this franchise elsewhere. I think they want the Saints franchise to be in, like, San Antonio or something.
Well, if anybody deserves to get a team again, it's St. Louis. Still don't understand how that even went down.
I feel like teams in the South, like, why doesn't Oklahoma or Mississippi have a team?
Well, Mississippi, definitely not, because I don't think there's a city big enough even to kind of support that.
Man, I mean, fucking Biloxi Bobcats or something.
The Biloxi Bobcat. They get Bobcat Lithuane to be
like a
dude. He's so gnarly.
They get Bobcat Goldride or whatever his name is to be their
Goldfinger.
I was just like, you know, the team did good.
Well, Alabama.
That'd be sick. Alabama, I mean, doesn't need a team. They have Saban. Dude, they don't need a team. Fuck Alabama. I'm going to say it right now. If you listen to this podcast and you're in Alabama, go fuck yourself.
Fuck Kentucky.
Roll Tide. Fuck you.
What about Kentucky?
Just throwing a state out there.
I mean, I think San Diego and St. Louis are still the most deserving cities that no longer have teams. I just don't understand. Like, they both got robbed for Los Angeles, which is a baseball and basketball town. You know,
it's a
town of fucking transplants anyway. So there's no real.
When's that fault line going to just rip them off the fucking United States? I just don't even want that fucking. Just get them the fuck out of here. Get their franchises first, and then just get them the fuck out.
Yeah, don't lose your franchise.
Philip Rivers.
Send them to the good people in Oklahoma that would love to see an NFL game and would appreciate a franchise. They wouldn't show up because the tickets are free.
So these are the five comeback player of the years. And apparently you can come back from a torn ACL because they've got Cooper Kupp as one of these candidates. But this was written 3 weeks ago. Jimmy Garoppolo, Teddy Bridgewater, Cooper Kupp, Devonta Freeman, Everson Griffin.
Okay. Why is Garoppolo had the same thing? He had an ACL tear.
Right. Week three, a year ago.
And why is what are those names? Those are the front runners?
I mean, look, this is a random article from the Stars Tribune, you know.
All right.
Well, the Stars Tribune. I wouldn't consider this writer the authority by any means.
If ACLs are viable, then Dalvin Cook should be at the top of that list.
Agreed. He looks like the scariest running back that I've seen in years. So quick, man.
Outside of Christian McCaffrey.
Sorry.
Don't forget about C-Mac.
Sorry. Like Dalvin Cook better. Call me a racist.
You're a racist. Because C-Mac has like 1,600 yards already or some crazy shit like that.
How about this? I'm going to pay him a compliment and still call Dalvin Cook the best running back. I'm going to say that Christian McCaffrey is so good that he transcends the position. He's their entire offense.
He's the white man that could.
He is.
We should all be proud.
I don't know. That one pitcher, he's kind of dark. What was that on? On like one of the games or something like that? He was like,
they put a shader on him?
Yeah, I think they did, man.
They touched him up, huh? That's a goddamn shame.
Pictures come out of Christian McCaffrey in blackface 10 years ago.
McCaffrey. What if he's been wearing whiteface all along and the blackface photo was actually like a real photograph of him?
Oh, right. Like the augmented filter, like fucked up, and like we finally get to see who he really is.
No, like he's an actual black person that has been wearing white makeup.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Changed his name to like the whitest name he could think of.
What a whiter name than Christian
McCaffrey.
Yeah, it was on the Madden 20. It was like a glitch. When you picked his player, he was brown. He was a dark-skinned fellow.
The developers, they were like, this guy's speed rating is way too high. You sure he's white? Well, let's just shade him in the middle. I'm not asking anybody. Fuck it. It's the same shit as last year anyway. Just book it.
Well, besides those two guys, who else would you guys consider as the best running back in the NFL? And we don't have to necessarily talk about production because obviously everyone's situation can be different in terms of game plan, how your team's doing, things like that. But besides those two, who else would you put like in a top five?
If we're not going off of production from this year, I'm putting Saquon. I still think he's the best in terms of raw talent. And I'm putting McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook in there as well. It's tough to say really anybody from the NFC West. Josh Jacobs is the only name that really comes out to me as like a stud, but I wouldn't put him in the top five just yet.
What about Derrick Henry?
He had those years where he just shit the bed.
Yeah, but that's not his fault. Did you know that the Titans are undefeated when he rushes for 100 yards?
Yeah, I mean, I believe it.
And he also had to play alongside Deion Lewis for Deion Lewis and what's his face? Did he come in when DeMarco Murray was still active?
Yeah. DeMarco Murray was there when he was drafted. He was a rookie. It was like a time. You know what it reminded me of? When the Giants had Brandon Jacobs and they had who was the other two? It was like Earth, Wind, and Fire. Ward, I think, was his last name, and they had Brandon Jacobs, but they used Jacobs like sparingly at first. That was kind of the same way they used Derrick Henry initially. He doesn't have the elusiveness that he has just a lot of raw power, and he has a good bit of speed. I just feel like he doesn't, the holes kind of have to be there for him. Like, he's going to make one guy miss, or he's going to truck one dude for sure. He's just a consistent running back. He reminds me of Steven Jackson a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I love that comparison.
Yeah, he has no elusiveness, man. He's just straight, I'm just going to pound this ball wherever I'm going.
But if you remember those old Rams games, it would be like Steven Jackson would get, like, 35 touches. And he would get, 3 yards per carry. 3.5, 4 yards per carry. What I mean? Then it gets plus 20, and he's getting 6 yards per carry. Then he's breaking off 20s and 30. You know what I mean? By carry 35, he hasn't worn the fuck out, and he's just a physical specimen. And he was getting, good yardage, but he was just a truck.
I do want to talk about, since we're still talking about running backs, do you guys think Ezekiel Elliott is beginning to take a step back?
No.
No.
No. No, I'm not going to overreact based off of a few things.
Okay, sure.
Top five list includes him, I think.
All right, let's go to the picks.
It's time for some motherfucking picks.
All right, so last week, Stassi had another big win. You went 8-5 in your picks. Claymore, you went 4-9. I went a dreadful 3-10 in my picks.
You were trash. You were so trash, Andrew.
I got pretty much everything wrong last week. Looking at this thing, I'm like, what games did I even pick correctly? And it comes down to Baltimore, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay. That's the only three that I picked correctly.
It's all right, babe. You'll bounce back.
And we were all on Baltimore. I was the only one on Green Bay.
That was a close game. Hey, the snow could have had that game go either way.
So our current standings right now, Stassi, you're in the lead, 39-30. I'm in second, 34-35, just right about 500. Claymore, you're catching up. You're two games behind me, 32-37. You want to get into the picks this week?
Yep.
All right, Thursday night football. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns. Browns are going to be favored by 2.5 points, over-under 40.5 points.
How are the Browns favored in this game?
That's what the opening line was set at. I imagine that's going to move in or even go the other way as the
especially
money
especially after
in.
This weekend with what the Steelers just did against why is my mind going blank? Against the Rams. Yeah. Very convincing home win. I mean, these Steelers are not laying down because Roethlisberger is out. They've been one of the most surprising and fun teams to watch this season. Give a lot of credit to Mike Tomlin for keeping this going.
He's a great coach. You know, he's got these guys invested.
I'm taking the Steelers easy on this one.
I am as well. You talked about like Tomlin and all that, but that defense is playing great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would put them easily in the top five for picking defenses in this league. The Steelers have to be up there for me.
They've done me very, very good in fantasy, having their defense.
Yeah. And if I'm matching up, like not even talking about Rudolph or any of the offensive stuff that's going on. If I'm matching up Baker and their struggles right now with this defense, it just doesn't seem like it's going to go the way that they want it to in Cleveland. It hasn't all year for them. I have no reason to believe that they'll be able to figure this defense out, defense out, or that this defense won't game plan the Browns better than vice versa. You know what I mean?
Like on top of that, it's a short week for the Browns, which puts them even at a more disadvantage, in my opinion.
Claymore?
Well, yes, the Browns beat the Bills, but the Bills basically imploded and basically shot themselves in the foot. The Steelers did beat the Rams, but the Rams, again, they're imploding as well. If you want to talk about overhyped teams, they're one. I know I got a losing record here, but I don't really like the Steelers in this game. I'm going to have to go Brown. And the reason I'm going Browns is because I think this last win is going to kind of help them a little bit. It's going to kind of give Baker a little bit of confidence back. And I think he comes out into this game with the utmost, or maybe the most, confidence he had this year. And I think he pulls out a win here. It's going to be an unexpected win, but I think the Browns take it.
I'm just looking at this picture you have. Well, is this actually from Madden?
Yeah,
it's got to be a joke, right?
No, it was a glitch.
This is a bug. Yeah, this is it's hilarious.
That's a straight up black dude. That's not even like
Like
it's not like it's not like right. Yeah, it's not like it's Christian McCaffrey with like a black tint. That's like a different dude. That dude's name is Rondell. All right, so you're taking Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Cleveland, man.
Moving on, noon games. We'll start with the Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens, who are favored by 4.5 points. Over-under is 50.5 points. I'm going to take the Ravens here. Kind of tempted with the Texans coming off bye and the preparation and all that. They need a win to stay competitive in their division. But after what I saw last week, forget 2 weeks ago, you know, it was an impressive win over the Patriots, but just, I know it's kind of a cliche in sports talk, but like,
I know exactly what you're going to say.
You have to beat the shit out of bad teams.
Yeah.
And they beat the dogs. And granted, the Bengals, like I said, I think they're tanking. So I don't think it's that impressive, but they just look stellar right now. And they're on a roll and they're coming back home. It'll be close, I believe, because I don't think the Ravens defense is as good as advertised as they were against the Patriots. I think the
doesn't
Patriots,
have to be though. Doesn't have to be as good because their offense is so good at staying on the field.
And right. Well, that's kind of my point. I think this is going to end up being a little bit more of a shootout, considering Will Fuller probably going to be back for this one. You know, DeAndre Hopkins had a little bit of rest. Deshaun Watson had a little bit of rest. These guys are going to come out slinging. That said, I'm still taking Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
I think this is the game of the week, man. If you're going to watch an NFL game this week, this is the one that I would want to catch. Two amazing quarterbacks are going to do battle in Baltimore this weekend. I actually think it's a trap game for the Ravens. I'm going to pick them. I do think the Ravens will win, but I agree. It's going to be a shootout. This should be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with how the Ravens are going to win this game here. The Texans, they can strike and score touchdowns really easily, man. Don't take a lot of time off the clock. The Ravens, they're scoring, but they're holding on to that ball, and they're eating up the clock, man. And I believe that's how they're going to win here. It's just they're going to control the time of possession, and that's how they win it. So I'm going to go Ravens.
Next game, Buffalo Bills at Miami Dolphins. Bills are favored by 6.5 points. Over-under's at 39. And I believe that's the lowest over-under of the week. I'm tempted to take the Miami Dolphins because they're hot. But I'm taking the Bills. I think they're going to bounce back in this game. Like I said before, I love the way Josh Allen's playing. I think they get it together against what I believe is ultimately an inferior opponent, just despite how they've been playing. It's a home game. Miami will probably have some fans there this time, being that they won two in a row. But give me Josh Allen and the Bills in this one.
Yeah, man. The Dolphins are really strange. Why aren't they tanking? I don't understand. They have the same record as the Falcons right now. Why are they not competing for the Joe Burrow or Tua sweepstakes? It's mind-boggling to me. They can't even lose correctly. Like, bringing in Fitzpatrick never made sense to me. I love Fitzpatrick, but tank. Let your young quarterback ruin himself out there in the field, okay? Let's get a real test to how he can handle that adversity. Go through this year really bad, and then next year you'll have a really high pick. And look, they've got more picks than anybody in the next two drafts. So maybe they don't want to do that because they're already confident in what they're going to do with those picks. So from the way they've been playing the past 2 weeks, I can't see them losing this game in Miami against the Bills. I just don't see it happening. I do not see Miami losing this game. Fitzpatrick and Devontae Parker are really becoming a fun tandem to watch. I'm taking the Dolphins.
They almost beat them already, and the Dolphins are looking a lot better than what they did when they almost beat them the first time. So I'm going to go Dolphins here.
I'll say this. I think that they don't really care too much about what position they're going to draft in because they have so many picks. And you also, you never know what kind of plan they have. You know, they might be interested in signing a vet. You know, there will be some names up in terms of quarterbacks. Like Andy Cam Dalton. Newton, Andy Dalton, Ben Roethlisberger,
Teddy Bridgewater,
Philip Rivers. You know, like these are names that might possibly be on the market next year.
There's no way Rivers. If Rivers doesn't finish his career as a Charger, I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, you just never know what happens. A lot of people said the same thing about Peyton Manning and the Colts, you know, and one thing led to another.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, he had neck surgery. They didn't want him.
All I'm saying if I'm the GM of the Dolphins, like win, lose, it doesn't matter. You guys get out there and start building. If the building blocks are getting these young guys on this team more acclimated to the idea of winning, you know what I mean? Giving them some personal gratification as opposed to them just being down every week, then go for it. Execute your game plan. Learn as coaches and all that, because with what they have in terms of assets, they can actually do something.
I like that theory.
If they pick the right guys. So I think it's different than Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati doesn't have all these assets, or at least not nearly as many as the Dolphins do. So they need that position because they need that if Dalton's not that guy, they need that franchise QB. So they need that draft position. I think Miami's like, you know, if we want Burrow, we could probably trade and get him. You know, we could trade up picks and, you know, give up another first rounder and get him. If we want Tua, well, we can find that spot too. You know, they have so many picks. I think they can move anywhere they want in the draft.
Yeah, I agree.
Or they can wait and see what falls to them, you know, and just take advantage of the value that they get.
Well, Herbert is a quarterback that we're not talking about. Oregon's quarterback, he's also really, really good. He's just not as blessed as these other two with the talent around him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's hard to look at guys like that, right? Like the guys that are on teams that aren't getting as much exposure as Tua and, you know, Joe Burrow are. You know, who's going to be that dark horse quarterback? You never know what's going to happen in the NFL.
And then you can just trade picks and pick like a Trubisky.
Right. Yeah, he might be up too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're going to redraft him.
All right, let's move over to the Cowboys at the Lions. Actually, we can't really do anything with this game yet. I don't know do you guys even want to pick this one? There's no line.
No, I still want to pick it for the sake of us picking the game. So, yeah, we don't even have to worry about the line. Let's just take a pick here.
Okay, there's no line or over-under, and the reason for that is Stafford's which, dude, I love this fucking guy. I loved him ever since, I think it was his rookie year, maybe his second year, when he, like, arm came dislocated or something like that. They popped it back in. They're like, you can't go back in. He gets up off the fucking stretcher. He's like, I'm going back in. Gets his helmet, comes back in, throws a fucking touchdown when he's hobbling off, like, you know, grabbing his – I'm like, this dude's tough, man. He's got that grit that you want. And apparently even more so because he's fighting with the team doctors and all that, wanting to play with basically the same injury Tony Romo had that ended his career. It was just broken bones in his back. So,
however, it may have ended Tony Romo's football career, but it began a very fruitful career in the booth.
Yeah, I mean, it was only a matter of time before he ended up in the booth. It just kind of helped that his back was, you know,
broken.
That of an 89-year-old lady.
Spinal.
So this is actually the first game where I'm going to take the Cowboys. I've picked against them, and rightfully so, many of these weeks. But this is a game I think they can go in and win. Lions D. Without Stafford, I don't think they have a swinging chance. So I'm going to take the Cowboys.
I'm going Cowboys.
That's my pick as well. And Claymo's, apparently. The Cowboys are in must-win mode, and they couldn't have gotten a better blessing than Stafford potentially being out this game. So if they want to keep pace, I mean, the playoffs ended right now, they would be the NFC East winners, but you know, the Eagles are right behind them. Right behind them. All they have is, you know, the tiebreaker or whatever on them, or the matchup, the head-to-head record. In terms of conference wins, they're one ahead in that regard. And division wins, they're one ahead as well. So,
but yeah, what a shitty division this year.
Actually, Cowboys 4-0 in their division. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Eagles haven't played many division games. They're 1-1.
I'll save my comment about the Eagles when we get to them.
All right, let's move to Broncos at Vikings. Vikings favored by 10.5 points. Over-under is 40. I'm taking the Vikings. As overrated as I think this team is, I'm still saying Broncos, I just don't think are very good at all. So that train's going to keep rolling at least for a little while. And they are also kind of in must win. Not, you know, they could slide a game, but I don't think they want to be in that wild card spot. They want to challenge Green Bay. So to do that, they have to win out. Give me the Vikings in this one.
I have to ask you a question. If the Vikings make a run and win the Super Bowl, are you still going to call them overrated?
No, I won't. But that's not going to happen, so don't worry about the hypothetical.
Okay, man. I'm telling you, and from a betting perspective, they actually have juicy odds. I think it's like plus 1,000 or something. Yeah, I think the Vikings.
You bet 10,000 on that.
10G.
See what the fuck happens.
Yeah, bet you won't.
See what the fuck happens.
Bet you won't.
Kirk's gonna be smiling at you, with shit in his pants. Like, thanks for the money, Nick.
You smell that?
You smell that? You like that?
Well, look, this is an easy one for me. This is just a throwaway year for the Broncos, as far as I'm concerned. And the Vikings are continuing to prove week in and week out that they are a very legit team. So I'll take the Vikings.
It's going to be another week of Kirk Cousins riding the back of Dalvin Cook. Vikings.
Just a little interlude. We've agreed on Ravens, Cowboys, and Vikings so far. So pins and all those.
No idea.
We did this one here. Let's go to New Orleans at Tampa Bay. New Orleans is favored by 5. Over-under is 51.5.
And this is wrong.
I think that number is too low. I'm taking New Orleans here because I don't think – well, this is so difficult because I didn't think Atlanta had a good defense either. But I know that Tampa Bay has been involved in shootouts with practically every team they've played. And I don't think it'll be any different in this game.
And they just released their corner that they drafted.
Michael Thomas might have 200 yards in this game. I just think everybody's just going to perform well in this game. Jared Cook, Kamara, other side of the ball. We'll see what Lattimore will probably be on Evans, I imagine. So I think Godwin will probably pick on Eli Apple a little bit. I don't have nearly as much faith in the Saints defense as I did a week before last week. So give me the Saints minus 5.
This is another trap game for the Saints. This game scares the dog shit out of me. Tampa Bay is surging. Jameis, I think, is finally maybe in a good situation. You know, the onus is going to be on him moving forward to produce the results on the field. But give credit to Bruce Arians for sticking with Jameis. I'm going to pick the Saints here, but I got to tell you, I'm not going to be surprised at all if they lose this game as well. To me, picking Tampa Bay in a parlay on this and pairing it with some other maybe easier picks wouldn't be a bad way to go. But like I said, I'll still pick the Saints. I think they're still the best team in the NFL. I don't know what happened last Sunday. I'm not really sure. But I love the Saints defense. And hey, look, the Falcons aren't a bad team. I've been saying this for 2 years. That roster, compared to the Super Bowl roster, not a whole lot different. There are you know, some players have moved on, but the Falcons just, they have a bad administration. So them winning against the Saints wasn't that surprising to me. I guess them winning in the Dome was the more surprising part.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll take the Saints.
I mean, I said last week that the Falcons were the Saints' kryptonite, man, and it showed. They play y'all really hard. Now the Saints versus the Bucks, it's a different story. The Saints and the Bucks have met up 55 times. The Saints have actually won, I believe, 34 of those 55 meetings. I'm going to go with the Saints here, man, and they're going to pull off their 35th victory of the Bucks here. I think it was just a fluke with the Atlanta being their kryptonite, man. The Saints aren't a bad team at all. They're a lot better than the Bucks, so they're going to win.
Now, a few weeks back, if you remember, I was trying to project what the Saints schedule would be, or what their record would end up look like. And we, at that time, we had 2 games against Atlanta and 2 games against Carolina. And because of that scrappiness that exists within the NFC South, even though I thought the Saints were the better team, I gave a win each to Atlanta and to Carolina. So I'm going to still hold true to that. I just don't know if this game against Tampa is a loss, you know, because of that. Like, if we split with every team in the division. But I still think they're going to end up 12-4, and I think that's going to be better than the Niners. So
the Niners are about to run into their whole division, so it's going to be really funny to see that play out.
They have a fucking horrible schedule. I think they have the most difficult remaining schedule.
They do. That is correct.
And it's gonna test them. It's gonna be good for them to have George Kittle back, but that's one guy. They got some other stuff to sort out there, mostly to do with Garoppolo. Okay, moving on. Speaking of, Atlanta Falcons at Carolina Panthers. Panthers are favored by 6.5 points. Why don't you go first, Dassey? Over-under's 51 points.
The Falcons are dumb if they try to win this game. So, if I were the Falcons, I wouldn't have tried to do anything. I don't even think they wanted to win that game against the Saints. Like I said, there's something going on there. But, man, I know the Falcons are the underdog here, but like I've said, I've always really liked their roster. I'm going to take Carolina because it's in Carolina. I don't think they can stop Christian McCaffrey. I think the Panthers, potentially wild card NFC team this year. So just because it's in Carolina, I'm going to go ahead and take Carolina.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with you about them winning here. I don't think that they're going to make a wild card. I think it's in the NFC, it's too difficult. With Seattle and the Vikings sitting with 7 and 8 wins, respectively. Panthers have, what, 5? They're going to need some luck, you know. They can't control it themselves. They are kind of a one-trick pony on offense.
Their defense is very good.
Fuck that shit. I'm taking Atlanta.
They are rated as one of the best, like a top three team in coverage.
Give me Atlanta. Fuck that shit. Fuck that shit.
Give me Atlanta.
Give me Atlanta to go in there with Matty Ice. Coming off a hot win against New Orleans. And just spoil the whole division. Just take a shit on the whole NFC South. And like, if you're not going to go anywhere, no one else is.
I like that.
I like the way that sounds, but I'm not picking the Falcons here, man. I'm going with Carolina. The Falcons hate the Saints. They hate everything about them. It's like the Saints are their big brother, right? Like, they want to just be better than the Saints. They don't want to be the Saints. And every time you talk about that division, everybody's like, oh, the Saints. So the Falcons just hate the Saints. They're going to come in and they're going to shit the bed really bad against the Panthers. And it's just going to leave everybody scratching their head like, fuck just happened? You beat the Saints. You know what I mean? Like,
man, that's not going to surprise me at all. Honestly, I would change my pick back, but it's too late. You only get one changeover. Fuck it.
So I'm going Panthers here, man.
All right. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts. Colts are favored in this one by 3 points. Over-under's 44. I'm taking Jacksonville. Coming off the bye, Big Dick Nick is back. I think that they come in and just smoke the Colts. I don't think the Colts are they're impossible to predict, but I think Jacksonville will be able to put it together. If you remember that first game with Jacksonville before Nick Foles got hurt, he was looking pretty damn good. He was hitting D.D. Westbrook and Shark and all those guys, and they looked like they had a potent offense. And if he's able to open that up, that only spells good things for Leonard Fournette, who we know, you know, can body people. And on the defensive side of the ball, they still have some playmakers. You know, Calais Campbell up front, A.J. Boye, you know, he'll be on T.Y. Hilton, trying to take away their best weapon. So give me Jacksonville in this game.
By virtue
of trying to stay ahead of you on these picks, I will agree with you and take the Jaguars, even though I don't really believe that. I like the Colts in this game, but I'm going to take the Jaguars. I do think Nick Foles is an X factor. I do think they have one of the best wide receivers in football in DJ Chark. We're gonna be seeing a lot of him for a very long time. But they're going into a hostile environment. They're going into Indianapolis. Not an easy place to play. But just so I can stay par with you, because I think this is one of the biggest coin flips of the week.
Sound scared.
I am scared.
Oh, dude, he's just scared. So what's scared. Andrew picking? I'm gonna pick the same.
For this one, I am. I'll go ahead and take Andrew's Jaguars.
I'm gonna go Jaguars here as well, man. Hilton's not probably gonna play this week. He's still week to week. It's hard to say. Brissett is. He has a chance of not even playing again this week. There's just too much and too many stipulations of all of their top guys being in. Jacksonville isn't playing really bad right now. And with the quarterback coming back, yeah, man, it's an easy pick. Yeah, I'm going to go Jacksonville.
All right. In agreement, stick a pin in that one. Last afternoon game, or noon game, I should say, New York Jets at the Washington Redskins. Redskins are favored by 1 point, over-unders 37.5. And this is actually the lowest under of the week. I got that wrong. I'm taking the Jets in this game. I just feel like they have more weapons. I really don't see how Washington's favored in this, despite the Jets' struggles. I think the Darnold's getting it back together. You know, there's tale that Herndon might be back this week, which is just – that's I think, is what he really needs. That dump off over the middle, the check down. So he's not having to sling it to Robbie Anderson every time way downfield. Not to mention, I love Le'Veon Bell in this matchup too. So give me the Jets.
Yeah, easy pick for me. Love the Jets. Love what they're doing. Maybe this year in their year, but this is a great team going forward. I don't really have anything else to say. Jets are going down to Washington and taking a win.
Yeah, this is going to be another game we all agree on. I'm going to go Jets here. Darnold has stopped seeing ghosts a little bit. Now he's looking at the big fat turkey for wins, man. And it's going to be a win here for the Jets. I don't even know who the quarterback is right now for the
Redskins. It's Haskins. He's been named the starter for the rest of the season.
Yeah, see, exactly. I don't even know who the guy is. I can't pick
what?
Him.
You don't know who Dwayne Haskins is? I'll have to edit that out. Come on, man. Are you serious, dude? Jesus.
It's just a joke, man. Yeah. You win one bet, now you just take control of everything.
Yeah, I know. Money really changes people, doesn't it?
Dude, it does. Like, yeah, well, I don't like what you said, so I won't put it in there.
It's sad. It's sad how far you've fallen. And I
sent
you
that actually. Picture of what he looks like, you know, in years to come.
Yep. I guess we'll just move on. Afternoon.
I mean,
games.
Do I even get to pick? Did I say my pick? Or Nick, should you pick it for me?
Maybe just delete him from the channel.
Yeah. Possibility.
Cover up his face on the podcast logo with just a pile of your money. How about that?
Yeah. Or his picks. You know, just put his picks there.
Yeah. All right.
I replaced Claymall with a cartoon caricature of a Brinks truck.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. There you go.
Makes perfect sense.
Cardinals at 49ers. Niners are favored by 13.5 points. Over-under is 45.5. I'm going to take the Niners in this game to bounce back. But damn it if I don't think that this is kind of... First off, that number is way too high, I think. Because it has since moved to 11.5 since that line came out. Now money's going the other way. But I think rightfully so. I don't see any way that this is a blowout. I think the Cardinals they can do some stuff on defense. They have a nice little rush. And they got some playmakers back on offense. And Christian Kirk. We'll see also what happens with Edmonds. You know, he's due back. probably not this week, but if he is, that's quite a trio of running backs with David Johnson, Kenyon Drake, and Chase Edmonds. So that'll free things up for guys like Christian Kirk. And it'll also limit the effectiveness of what the Niners, I think, do best is that rush with Nick Bosa. So
are you taking the Cardinals or the 49ers?
Man, I'm taking the Niners, but I'm just giving the argument that I think that this line is way too fucking high.
Well, give me that argument because I'm taking the Cardinals in this one. Jimmy G does not recover from what happened Monday night, at least not this soon. Cardinals were in a close one with him already. What was it, last week? And I agree with everything you said about the Cardinals' up-and-coming team. And Kyler Murray, very similar to Russell Wilson and how he plays the game. Doesn't matter how good your defense is when you're going up against a guy like that. And Lamar Jackson proved that to us when they beat the Patriots. Love the Cardinals in this game. I'm probably going to lose this pick, I understand. And I think this is the juiciest money line pick for Vegas this week at plus 455. I will definitely be pairing this with a few other games to see if we can win the lottery once more. Yeah, I'll take the Cardinals.
Man, it's hard to take a pick right now because of the fact that no Kittle, no Sanders, that's their offense right now. Their run game isn't open without those two players being there. Cardinals are pretty good right now. They're playing really well. And the 49ers, it's really hard to make this pick. So I'm going to go for the old trusty coin, guys. Like, I'm going to really do a coin flip here. Tails is 49ers. Heads is Cardinals. I'm going to flip this coin.
Flip that shit.
It is tails. So I guess I'm going with the 49er. Yeah.
Expert analysis, as always, by Claymo.
Hey, man. It's Pick'ems.
Next week, New England Patriots at Philadelphia Eagles. Patriots are favored by 4. Over-under's 46 on this one. Patriots are coming off a bye. Give me the Patriots. We've already seen multiple teams shred this secondary of the Eagles, and I think it'll be no different this week. They had an extra week of practice with some of their guys they're bringing in. They should have Dorsett back healthy. Julian Edelman should be back healthy. I like this Patriots team, and I don't think they're going to lose coming off a bye. I think they're going to be too well prepared for the Eagles. So give me the Pats.
I don't see the Eagles doing anything great right now, especially against the Patriots. The Patriots' defense are going to come out pretty damn strong this round, and they're going to put too much pressure on the quarterback. They're going to have at least 6 sacks this game. Yeah, Patriots, man.
This is a very interesting game. The Eagles, if you look at their schedule, they don't have a lot of quality wins, but they have won 2 in a row. They're still in play for the division. Oh, man. And I've been saying it. I thought the Patriots were a little overrated this year. Everyone wants to talk about that defense. Well, when you look at who they were playing against, I mean, you know, it's the same thing we could say about Alabama until they run into a good team. A lot of things could happen in this game. We're getting into November. I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Philadelphia. Oh, man. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the Eagles at home to beat the Patriots. Still think the Patriots are going to finish really strong. I feel like the Eagles have a little more incentive right now to win. And I don't think that defense is as bad as the games they've had. Same thing with the Falcons. You know, sometimes it takes getting into the middle of the season before we can really start identifying what a team is. So I will take the home team in the afternoon game. Yeah, I'll take the Eagles.
Last afternoon game, Cincinnati Bengals at Oakland Raiders. Raiders favored by 10 points, 48.5 is the over-under. As we've mentioned multiple times, the Bengals are garbage, and I don't think that even if they had the weapons, they would even attempt to win this game. I think this is an easy win for the Raiders. And I think it looks a lot like last week's game with Baltimore versus the Bengals. I think it'll be a blowout. So that minus 10, I think, is actually low considering what I believe the turnout of this game will be. So,
yeah, I got to agree with you. This is the easiest pick of the week for me. Raiders all day. There's nothing else to say.
Yeah, let's go Raiders. Bengals don't even – I don't think they win a game this year on purpose.
Sunday Night Football, the Bears at the Rams. Rams favored by 6.5 points, over-unders 41. I'm going to go a little unconventional here and take the Bears to win this game. They have as much momentum as they've had this entire year right now. And the Rams are backpedaling after a humiliating loss where they got exposed. And there's tape on them getting exposed. And I think the Bears defense has the tools necessary to do that same thing to the Rams offense. So 41, it's a proper number for Vegas to choose on this, but I believe it goes under that. And I think the Bears win a sloppy game.
My dear friend, I weep for you. Look, man, I'm happy for Nick that the Bears got their win against the Matthew Stafford-less Lions, okay? However, as overrated as this Rams team is, because they kind of dismantled some of their defensive pieces, there's no way they lose this game. Sean McVay won't allow it to happen. The main thing for me in this game is Trubisky, there's no way he's going to go into the Coliseum, okay, in a hostile environment. And he's not going to be able to handle the trash talking from Jalen Ramsey. That alone will be fun to watch. I hope they mic him up because I really want to hear what Jalen Ramsey has to say to Trubisky. This is going to be hilarious. I'm taking the Rams all day in this game. I do think they're one of the overrated teams in the NFC. There's no way they lose to the Bears. There's no chance.
Well, as always, I'm going to pick the Bears here. Even though their offense is looking like shit, I think the Rams' offense is looking like shit as well. I think their O-line is going to have problems with our defense, and we're going to come in and kick their ass.
Kick their ass.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Can I get a score prediction on that?
Ooh, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
24-14 Bears.
I was thinking 24-17, but yeah. Right around the same ballpark, still on the under. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and give my score prediction. Rams 35, Bears 10.
Ouch.
No chance.
We're good for at least 2 field goals, bro.
You want to bet on this game?
No, you're not. Yeah, you want to bet on this game?
I'll take the Bears. $50.
$50.
You want to wait until we have one more game. Let's sort out some bets after we do this last game.
Okay.
Monday Night Football. Chiefs at Chargers. Chiefs favored by 3.5 points. Over-unders 53. Stassi, why don't you go?
Probably the second coin flip game of the weekend. The Chiefs have issues on defense. I think this game comes down to Patrick Mahomes getting another week of rest. This is going to be a shootout for sure. The over is 52. That's the highest. It's an interesting game, man. We always bring this up that the Chargers really never have a home field advantage, and the Chiefs tend to travel well. They did this last weekend. I guess I'm going to take the Chiefs here, although I think they're in trouble a little bit. If Mahomes can be the real Patrick Mahomes, the full version of Patrick Mahomes, then they should make quick work of a lot of teams. Love the Chargers. I hope they can do what they've done in recent years and surge at the end of the year and make it aggravating for everybody. But I don't think they're going to be able to do it against the Chiefs because I don't think they can keep up in terms of the scoreboard. You know, the Chiefs just have so many options when it comes to speed. It's really going to be difficult for the Chargers. The Chargers will have to play their best game of the season for them to win.
So I'll go ahead and take the Chiefs.
I like the turnaround that the Chargers have made with the interim offensive coordinator right now. I know the Chiefs have a shit defense right now. They got some gaps and people are putting points on them. I just don't see the Chargers defense stopping Mahomes. This was Mahomes' first game back playing with his from his dislocated knee. I don't think he was really putting all his weight on it. I don't think he was really going 100%. I believe this game he will be going 100%. And I just don't see the Chargers defense stopping Mahomes enough.
And just to add to that, you know, Mahomes still had a pretty decent game. But there were a few plays in particular where a healthy Patrick Mahomes would have taken off and run. And he didn't. It was very uncharacteristic. And that's because I think that knee injury, you know, I don't know if it's physically hurting him or if it's on his mind, but it is so paramount for this Chiefs team to have him at 100% come playoff time.
Well, I'm glad you're both wrong, because it's almost middle November, and that means it's baby-making season for Philip Rivers. All right. This defense is the Chiefs defense is mediocre at best. They just dropped a game to the fucking Titans. I have no doubt about Chargers' ability to put points on the board. They have all their weapons healthy. Hunter Henry, Keenan Allen. I think the first time in a while that you could say that about that offense where everybody's healthy. Their running backs are all healthy. They're all playing well. And I think the most important factor in this game is, you know, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, his performance. What's going to be done about him? I think that Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are going to keep him constantly, you know, on his toes, constantly. He's going to have those nice plays where he eludes pressure and finds Tyreek Hill downfield. That's unavoidable. But he's also going to take some serious hits in this game, and they're going to put some serious pressure on him. I like the Chargers running game a lot more than I do the Chiefs. I think that they have an ability in this game to control the clock that the Chiefs don't. The Chiefs, I think, will be able to keep up with them in terms of points just because those huge plays that they're capable of making. But give me the Chargers at the start of a run that may well put them in the playoffs.
Yeah, this is usually when it starts for them. And to your point about the running backs, that is an edge that they have because the Chargers have their running back situation figured out. And the Chiefs, on the other hand, have kind of maneuvered in and out of different personnel packages throughout the season. I mean, Le'Veon was a healthy scratch. They said he was resting. I don't know if I buy that. Not Le'Veon. Shady McCoy. I'm sorry. I mean, we don't even know if he's going to play in this game.
Well, we'll get to Shady McCoy in the fantasy section, I'm sure. Clay might have a question related.
Shady McCoy or Shady McCoy?
Well, you guys ready for our new segment? Parlays?
Cool. Parlays.
Podcast parlay. All right, so the teams that we all agree on.
So I've got Saints, Vikings, Jets, Ravens. Any other teams that I missed here?
It should be five total, and one of them we can't bet on because.
All right, so I've got four here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really wish Claymont exactly. The adding Pittsburgh to this
makes it awesome.
Yes,
we're doing it. So
yeah, no, we could do that. I just picked the Browns just because.
Okay.
So adding. Adding Pittsburgh gives us that sweet plus 120 that you need.
Okay, so 50 from each of you for this?
Yeah, I have 150 paying 1,400 on this bet.
Let me see. 150. It pays 1,585.
I'll Venmo you in a minute here.
You got it.
And we're all tuned in Thursday night for our first leg of this parlay. We need the Pittsburgh Steelers to win. Otherwise, our first... you know, our inaugural podcast parlay is just a complete abysmal failure.
That's okay. That's how you get parlay experience.
You lose a whole lot and then you win. 100 and oh, okay.
150 billion. Yeah.
Fantasy sit starts or what?
I think I might have something this week.
Oh, you might need a little help because I think in one league you actually play me, so you might have to ask Stassi.
Let me look at that one first.
Yeah, go look at that matchup.
This league? No, I'm gonna dumpster you. In the Mahomes league?
Yeah.
Where I have Lamar Jackson, Kelce, Godwin, Cooper, Kareem, Saquon.
You're so done.
Yeah, no, I don't need any help.
Getting murdered.
I don't even.
You know, I'm not sitting with Cousins.
Hang on a second. Are you scorgasm on your TDs?
I am.
Jesus Christ. I'm just gonna put you on blast for that.
I like my team name.
You like your team?
Yeah, I'm in second place. Where you at?
How?
You have Greg Olson. Where you at, bro?
Is Greg Olson still playing football? Shit,
dude, you're tight, but you're in ninth place.
Hey, man, Greg Olson actually looked really good in that Packers game.
You know what?
Of old guys that looked good. You know who?
This league is dumb as shit anyway. Honestly.
Old guy that we didn't get to, I wanted to bring him up in the Cowboys game, even though he lost. Man, Randall Cobb looked really, really good. I hope he continues to produce and we can see some kind of resurgence of his career.
Yeah, why don't you spit out my team? Why don't you tell Stassi? Or should I tell him?
Nobody wants to. That's not interesting radio, man. Nobody
Let's roster bait. Man. Just give me the starting lineup real quick.
I got one thing to show you.
Kirk Cousins. Oh God. Josh Jacobs. David Montgomery.
Shit.
DeAndre Hopkins. Tyreek Hill. Greg Olson. Devin Singletary. San Fran D. Sly's Carolina kicker. On my bench, I got Robert Woods.
All right. We're done.
His fucking bench. Like, anybody gives a shit.
Look at this picture. It's not a bad team, though. That's a good game.
That's why I'm in second place.
Yeah, you see your points for? You're in second place because you lucked out.
You sound like everybody else, bro. At the end of the day, it's about wins. It don't matter if I score 3 points or 4 points. If you're not putting the points on me, I'm fucking winning.
You got the lowest points against in the league by 200.
You goddamn right. No one's playing me because I'm beating them. I got the wins.
It's embarrassing.
Hey, Nick, beat both one, first, and
you're
third.
You're not going anywhere. That's the point.
Okay,
you're not going anywhere.
I beat
anywhere
the two top teams.
Your team doesn't put up any points.
Dumpster.
You're going straight to the dumpster. You don't realize it yet. And that's what's sad about you.
Would you like to make a bet, side bet, that I go further in the league than you?
Oh, no doubt you'll go further than me, but you ain't winning shit. You're winning just the same thing as I'm winning. In fact, I probably got more bar tabs because I got more points than you. So who's really winning?
I got it. I got how many weeks you got with bar tabs so far?
Five.
You're not the top scorer in five. You're crazy.
Check the schedule.
I'll call Bryce right now.
Call Bryce. We'll be right back.